Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. We're so encouraged that you are joining us here today. We have so many interesting things, God's news, behind the news, wisdom moments, and all those wonderful humor moments. Join us, VFN Radio's Extra Hour. Listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged that you have joined us, and you will be encouraged too. VFN Radio, join us in a few. Bye-bye.
Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me in the extra hour is Pat and Chris. And we're so excited that you've joined us in the extra hour. We're going to be talking about repentance, what it is and what it isn't. And we need a clear word today. We need to know exactly where we're at, because you know what? If you don't know where you're going, if you don't know what the Lord's expectations are, and you think that what you're doing is right when you're actually wrong, that's not going to go well for you. And so we're going to listen to this segment. It's just time to make your bed. A simple look at what true repentance is all about. Listen up.
I think, you know, you want to be open to the fact that maybe, that America's problem, if you traced it out and you pulled out the DNA like they do nowadays and put it on a strand and you separated the T's from the H's and the G's, and, you know, John, you can explain that later, that, you know, the proteins and all, it would track down to say, aha, we found out it's not the butler who did it, but it's the church who did it. Mm-hmm. And you know, one thing about it is that when you find out who did it, then, you know, you can, you know, bring justice.
Right.
Well, with the church, you know, men in general, outside of Jesus Christ, you know, we're all in trouble and we've all mm-hmm. sinned and fallen short. But with Jesus Christ, God served justice on his son. Mm-hmm. So when we find out that it's God's people, we've sinned and we've fallen short, and that we can not just say, I'm sorry, but we can repent. Mm-hmm. And let me give you a great, simple analogy of repentance. You're 10 years old, and your mom has been telling you to make your bed now for the last 30 days. And she goes in there, and she sees your bed unmade. And she tells you to make your bed, and you don't. And then she comes back the next day, and she says, of course, I guess you slept again last night, because it's I don't know. She doesn't really know whether the cover's moved or not, because they look the same as they did the day before. And she says, I told you, make your bed. And she comes back the third day, and again, she doesn't know if they even moved or not, because the socks are still on the floor. Mm-hmm. And she says, I'll tell you what, you know, today, you know, you're going to have to, when you get home from school, you're going to have some consequences, because I told you to make your bed, and you didn't make your bed. Oh, please, I'm sorry. Oh, I'll make my bed, and all this mm-hmm. kind of stuff. And because there's consequences, you know, the child, you know, says, I'm going to make mm-hmm. my bed up. And then the child makes their bed up, and then she lets them off the consequences. She doesn't give them the consequences. Mm-hmm. What happens the next day after that? It's unmade again, mm-hmm. right? Because repentance is this. When God says, make your bed up, because not having a made bed, just as an analogy, is sin. Mm-hmm. First of all, your heart's broken for the fact that you sinned against God. You feel remorseful about the fact that I didn't realize God wanted me to make my bed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And but now you're aware of it. And then you go, I'm going to make my bed. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make my bed up. And so when God sees my life, he's going to see, you know, tight sheets and pillows in the right places and 45-degree angles is probably Pat's. You know, 45-degree angles.
That's Steve's.
You know, Steve's, you flip a quarter probably off of Steve's, right. What you did in the military. But you, and then you know, hey, I'm making my bed because God wants me to make my bed, or, you know, my mom wants me to make my bed, and this is pleasing to my mother, and this is pleasing to God. And you may even struggle with, oh, times are rushed, I don't know what to do. But even in the midst of that, knowing that you could just walk out and not make your bed anymore as a child, that mm-hmm. you still adjust your life accordingly. I'm going to need to get up earlier. I'm going to need to include in my life, you know, time to be able to make my bed. I need to not get a wrong viewpoint of this. My mom's not hating on me. She knows mm-hmm. what's best for me.
Mm-hmm.
And because she loves me, she's telling me I need to learn discipline in my life or whatever it is. And God's doing the same thing. And so we're not doing it out of some sort of works or resentment, or I'm just trying to please God here. I'm just trying to make my mom happy. It's like, mm-hmm. oh my goodness, I can just make my bed. I need to make adjustments in my life to obey mm-hmm. God. So repentance for the church, when we see that, hey, we trace this down, and, you know, the world has nothing to do with God's people, nothing whatsoever to do with God's people. It's God's people who God has a relationship with, and he loves all people. Mm-hmm. But those that have chose to be his, when we walk in rebellion to him and turn away from him, he allows things to happen to be able to bring us back to him. And what he wants from us is us to make our beds. He wants us to repent. And so right. there's a lot of situations going on right now where, you know, people are saying words like, I'm so sorry, I should have made my bed. I should have made my bed. And there's people making their bed for a day. You know, making their bed for a day. But then they go back to their same way of life. But what God is looking for, you know, God is looking for, you know, us to be able to walk out repentance. And so the hope for America and the hope for the church is us making our beds. That's what repentance is. It's so simple. But it's pretty. It's what you have to do is die to yourself, and because the kid didn't want to make it, it's bad. The kid just didn't want to do it. But then the kid had to say to themselves, "Listen, it's not all about me, and I don't know everything, and I need to honor my mother. And if I love her, I'll honor her. If I love God, I'll honor God. You know, God says, if I'm your father, where's my honor?
All right.
And so it becomes out of love because I love my mother." Because I know she knows things, and my whole frontal lobe hadn't developed yet. I'm 10 years old. I don't have no grip of reality yet. I have no experiences. And with God, I mean, you'll never figure God out. You know, you can ponder him and search his awesomeness, but it just goes on, and he goes on and on and on and on. So you just have to believe that God loves you. God's got a plan for your life, and he understands why he's told us in his word to do this or not to do that. Does that mean we never have an unmade bed? No, but it's a bump in the road. It's not a bump in the road. It's an anomaly. It's something that doesn't happen continually in your life. You know, it's not like it was at one time when not only was your bed unmade, but you enjoyed having it unmade. You never thought about making your bed. But now you realize if you do sin, that you're broken for it, and you go to God and you confess it, and he forgives you of your sin. But to go on sinning and not turn from it is not to be repentant of our sin. It's very simple. And so he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and repent, turn from their own wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and heal their land. And so what he's saying is, you know, you can cry all you want to. You can put as much money on the altar as you want to. You know, you can read your Bible as much as you want to. You can do all these things you want to. But when you get up from that place of prayer and that place of brokenness, if you're not making your bed, I'm not going to heal this land. Period. So then we're like the 10-year-old kid. We have to realize I've been selfish, narcissistic, and wanting to do things my own way. And how can I criticize a 10-year-old kid when I myself have been wanting to do things my way? And just because I was an adult, you know, I just started making all these rules to everybody. And it's like, I just do it my way.
Uh-huh.
You know, and here you are, like a 10-year-old kid, getting rebuked by your father for not repenting, not making your bed. And so with that, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you this morning that as people are praying and crying and doing all the things we need to do, Mm-hmm. If it's all said and done.
Right. You just got to continue to seek God and repent. We got to acknowledge the fact that, you know what? It's time to make the bed. It's time to do what God's called us to do. And it's, you know, complaining, feeling bad, feeling sorry, like you said, it's just not going to cut it. At the end of the day, what matters is that did we make the bed?
And that's my really concern, because we know how to feel bad.
I mean, right. We've got that down pretty good, don't we? It's easy to feel bad. It's easy to feel, you know, sorry when the consequences are meeting us.
Even a drunk knows how to feel bad over a toilet when they're, you know, they're saying yeah. more things than somebody would say because they're miserable in their sense. They made a mistake. Sure. They're suffering, you know.
Right.
So that's not the key.
Mm-hmm.
And the key is wanting to please God.
Right.
And my concern is that sin has become something that's not sinful.
Mm.
There's people prophesying things that make people feel comfortable in their sin. Mm-hmm. They're saying, let me lay hands on you and prophesy over you. And it's like, that man's in sin. You better get right. your hands off of him. Because if you say that you heard from the Lord and you lay your hands on that man and he's in sin, and when you step off, he's going to believe that God was pleased with the sin. He's going to stay in it, and God has something to say about you.
Mm-hmm.
False prophets. You get your hands off God's people.
Mm-hmm.
Quit saying, thus saith the Lord, when people were in this open sin.
Right.
You understand, if you're you don't know anything about that man's life, and you walk up and you laid hands on him and you said, like God said, never say, here's an oracle from God, and you deliver the oracle from God from them, like he's some local God, some local situation, and now he's, you know, because you're out of your own head, and because you're coming out of your own flesh, and because you're coming out of your own will and your own motives, you just sentence that guy to think that God is okay with the sin and he's going to burn in hell because you said, thus saith the Lord. Listen, the problem is sin is no longer sinful in the minds of so many people in America church. It's really, I mean, you got to pay attention, because you got to remind yourself, oh my goodness, this is sinful.
Mm-hmm.
you got to say, this is sinful.
Right.
That's why when you're prophesying over people and you're moving in your gift, that you need to be aware of who their pastor is and their shepherd is, and work with them in understanding that they are under a shepherd,
right,
for a reason. Right. And you need to, and they know where that person is. They know what's happening in their life. And they're going to have to pick up all the pieces when you walk away and prophesy out of your own head or your own heart.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that you have to understand, if somebody is, for example, in the mafia, they're in some drug cartel or something, and they're killing people, and you walk up and you lay hands on them and you begin to prophesy over them, and it does not cause them to be acknowledged. What you say to them does not make them aware of their sin.
Mm.
And it makes them comfortable in their sin. It doesn't even bring it up. And it causes them to feel better about where they are in their life. I mean, Jeremiah 23 talks about you. God talks about you in Jeremiah 24.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I don't even want to hear it. He said, I don't know. And he said, and so right now we've got to hear a word about, Lord, help us turn from our sin. Help us repent.
Amen.
You know, marriages are out of order. Families out of order. Finances are out of order. Choices of what comes into our eyes are out of order. Relationships are out of order. I mean, which means sin. These are things, unmade beds. And people are going, let me prophesy over you. Let me prophesy. It's like, prophesy. When you finish, I better feel convicted if I'm in sin. Because if mm-hmm. I don't feel convicted, you know, lovingly convicted, that if I'm not drawn closer to God, you know, when this finishes and I just feel more comfortable in my rebellion and my idolatry of self,
mm-hmm.
you know, stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Stop preaching messages and prophesying over a nation of believers in the church that causes us to feel comfortable in our sin. We don't listen. If you really loved us, you're going to help us in love, and you're going to speak words that you're hearing from God that lines up with His Word. that when you're finished, I understand a loving God loves me, but I'm going to have to deal with the sin in my life. And if I will go to the cross, God will forgive me for that sin, and I'll be in right relationship with God. But right now we have so many feel good, of course, I mean, everybody is a friend of a man who gives gifts. Stimulus packages.
Yep.
Of course, everybody's your friend if you call yourself a prophet, and every time you lay hands on somebody, you go, and then I see you walking, you know, on gold, and then I...
In a mansion.
And I see, you know, that you've been struggling, but God sees your struggle, and is like... And welcome to all of us.
Yeah, right.
it's like guessing your weight at the fair. You're thinking he'll never guess my weight. he goes like, how did you do that? Oh my goodness, I thought this shirt hit it. He can never guess Pat's. We got to check this blousing thing out.
It's the blousing.
Yeah,
it's
we got to check this blousing thing out to see if it works. he may not blouse again. It's like, anybody find out it doesn't work. No, but seriously, that is very frustrating for people who love God and love people who want to see them people be forgiven of their sin. They want to see people set free. When you keep on, every time they see you, then here comes a good word. I mean, Ahab loves you. I mean, oh my goodness. Come and tell me some other reason why me not taking the keys of my life and running things the way they're supposed to run. They'll tell me, oh yeah. And if you give them a true word, they're stomp out of the room. I can't believe it. Always give me a bad word, Elijah. It's like, well, no, just kind of, you know, telling you like it is, you know. Right. God loves you.
Someone once said, did you get a good word?
Yeah,
it's like, hello. Word. Every time God speaks is a good word.
Yeah. That's right. It's like, and the thing is that this is what he says. This is what he says. And read, take a little time, the other people that are not 17%, because only 17% read the Bible, according to George Barna. 18%, my thing moves, isn't it? 16, 17, 18, under 20.
19.
There he goes. Wait, when are we in? So the 80%, pause for a moment. Don't read anything, but just read Jeremiah 23 and 24. Just read it. And understand that now, since we're in this condition that we're in as a nation, as the church, now not as the people who are not walking with God, not the people that have like statues in the wilderness that are burning, the Burning Man people, and none of that stuff. But the people who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, who have said that they've actually accepted them as their Lord, who understands, you know, the family of God, that, you know, you're wanting to walk with God, that we need... If we got to repent, we need somebody to talk to us and be real with us so that we can make a decision. Somebody needs to come into our lives and say, your bed's unmade. Make your bed. Mm-hmm. You know, we need somebody, but it's important this, the truth and love. We need, you know.
Not to tell us what our itching ears want to hear with the Book of Acts.
There shouldn't be one ear that itches in America right now. I mean, there should be not. Everything is, there's nothing, you know what I'm saying? And so, you know, with that, you know, we speak the truth in love. L.A. Joyner, I had a prophet come to his church in Georgia, and he was just really, you know, harsh. And, he finished up and talking to an LA was pastor in the church then, that church. And the prophet looks at him and says, yeah, he says, why do you talk that way, basically, to the guy? And he goes, well, because I'm a prophet. And he says, no, you talk that way because you're mean. And so I'm not talking about being mean, because first of all, it's not going to work, because people respond by love. But you got to be the kindness and the sternness of God. You got to say, this is bad, but God loves you. This is bad, but you can repent. There is justice. Yeah, but justice was served on Jesus Christ. We can cry for justice, but it causes us to run for the cross before the hammer lands on a nation. I mean, go to VFN TV and watch No One Cries for Justice. It'll give you a perspective that justice is putting things back in order again. It's making beds up. But with that, we have to get under the blood. We have to deal with our own personal sin, or the hammer will land on us. And God served justice. He dealt justice. He dealt with it once and for all through his son. And those who actually run to him and deal with their sin, our sin, at the cross of Christ, and accept the price that he's paid, and walk away with made bets, you know, don't walk away with messed up covers, you know, as Juanita Bynum says, no more sheets.
Right.
You know, walk away with saying, you know what, I'm going to be a disciple. I'm going to learn how to make beds the way Jesus has made beds. I'm going to walk my life out. I'm going to be discipled. And so I can live a life that's free from sin. And if I do sin, it's not going to be something that I desire to do. And if I do, you know, if you hadn't listened to, was it called the product? What was the pigs?
The prodigals.
Pig? The prodigals.
Prodigals are coming home.
Yeah, and it talks about the difference between a sheep and a pig. That is a big difference. It doesn't mean we're not going to get dirty. We're going to sin, but it's not going to be something that stays continual in our life.
And
the goodness of God in us will empower us to walk out the good things in this life that causes other people to look at us and give God glory and not us, because there's no one good but God. When we first started trying to articulate, you know, what God was doing with us, you know, we thought, you know, how do you explain God? I mean, how do you explain family? How do you because it's just kind of hard. The paradigm shift is so huge from going to church to being the church, you know, from that building being the temple of God to us being the temple of God. And then in families, really family, you know, Jesus said when his mother Mary was outside and his brother was outside knocking on the door because they thought he lost his mind because he was ministering actually in a house and to his disciples, and they were coming to rescue him because he hadn't eaten. They were going to rescue God, John. They were going to rescue God. And that he hadn't eaten in a couple of days. And they just knew because that was their family. They thought, that's my family. That's my relative in there, so he'll actually come out. And so somebody tells Jesus, he says, you know, your mother and your brother's outside wanting to talk to you. And he goes, who is my mother? This is God speaking through his son, Jesus Christ, right? He said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? And today's church will say, the people knocking on the door.
Right.
But that's not what he said. He said this. He said, those who do the will of my Father, when he was looking at his disciples sitting in front of them. We've got to recapture again the understanding of the family of God, because the truth is, that if we really love our family, we're going to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ, because if they don't know Jesus Christ, they're not going to make it into the family of God and into eternity in heaven. And so we want them to be able to make it. But, you know, we try to come together, try to come out a way to explain that. We did that with the Vine seminars. You know, that we first had a Vine seminar to be able to explain us, to take us from these mindsets of realizing that we have an awesome King and God who loves us, and he wanted family, and we are the ark of God, and God's presence dwells with us, and it's just awesome thing of activation, and it's an exciting thing. The Vine seminars about, you know, Vine Fellowship Network, but also it's just grown into other seminars as well. And so if you want to find out more about Vine seminars, from marriage to personality, from, you know, what it's like just to be the church, you know, maybe you can glean from it. Go to vineseminars.org. You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to PFN Radio every day, you know, we're 24-7. We're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you can't, you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you.
Oh my goodness. John, have you been listening to the daily VFN radio program?
You know I have.
Oh man, such good content. Hey, are you on Facebook?
Of course.
Wow. You've got to check out the VFN TV page on Facebook.com. And if you haven't, you check it out. You can go on Facebook.com/VFN TV. You know, when you're listening to the radio program and you're listening to a segment that's just, you know, speaking to you, and you know that, you know, there's friends that's really going to encourage them, you can click share. And those friends who are all your friends who you're connected with on Facebook, they'll immediately get what you share.
Wow, that's awesome. It's a great way to continue to spread the word, huh? Spread
Absolutely. Yeah. Check it out. Facebook.com/VFN TV.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me in the extra hour is Pat and Chris. Wow, it's just time.
It's time.
It's just time, Pat. It's just time to make your bed, right?
Yeah.
I mean, very simple, very plain. You know, Mark Twain said, it's not the scriptures that I don't understand that give me the biggest problems. It's the scriptures that I do understand. Mm-hmm. And it's simple. It's simple. We have to keep it real. We have to let the main thing be the main thing. And we need to have a heart that's repentant and turned back to God. You know, times of refreshing cannot come unless there's repentance. Well, if you're joining us in the extra hour, we do want to talk about it. We'll be sharing on the demonstration of the kingdom of God. The demonstration of the kingdom of God. Paul said, the Apostle Paul, when he preached, he says, listen, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive and eloquence of words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. I mean, this is Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament. He says, listen, I didn't come with fancy-dancy rhymes. I didn't come with, you know, all these crazy illustrations and blowing up techniques and all these pyro. I came with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. You know, God's given us power for a reason. Right. And his gospel comes with power. Luke 9 says that when Jesus called the 12 together, Matthew 10 says that the Lord brought them to himself. God, Jesus, gave them, the disciples, you and me, he gives us power and authority to what? Drive out demons, to cure diseases, and he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, not their kingdom, but the kingdom of God, and to heal the sick. I mean, this is Jesus's launch, if you will, for his disciples. They've been with Jesus. They have watched Jesus. They have learned of Jesus. They've seen the Lord teach and preach and drive out demons and heal. And everything that the Lord did, he said, you know what? Now you do. Mm. In fact, the word says that greater works will you do, speaking of the believers, because I go to the Father. To think that everything that the Lord did in his ministry, that's available for every believer, for every son and daughter of the King. Essentially, Jesus is saying, hey, you go. Now it's your turn and go forth. And so the first thing that we need to remember is that, you know, our first call in the ministry, and everyone is listen, we've all been given the ministry of reconciliation. Everybody's in the ministry. And what ministry means is what? Serving.
Right.
Everybody can serve. That's so important because there's a mindset that ministry is only what's done on stage. Mindset, so it's, that ministry is only what's done in maybe just the preaching or all these other concepts, right? Mm-hmm. But listen, ministry is one who comes to serve. Jesus says, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. He led the example. And so there's all sorts of different ways that you can get involved. You're listening today and you know, you're being stirred and you're saying, listen, I'm so glad that was shared. I've been wanting to do something for God. And I thought that I had to do something on stage to be in quote unquote the ministry. Let me tell you, ministry is serving the Lord in so many different capacities. You know, I love what someone once said, do something lest you do nothing. You know, you can always serve. You can always help. You can always bless someone and doing it in the name of the Lord. And whatever you've done to the least of these brothers of mine, Jesus said, you've done it to me. And I think we need to help people to understand that, hey, you're in the ministry day one. Mm-hmm. You're in the ministry day one. I remember sitting one day years ago thinking, oh, am I supposed to go into the harvest field? I didn't know that. No one ever told me. I never knew I was commissioned. Well, you're being told today, you are commissioned. Go. I thought it was for somebody else.
Right.
But I learned. So our first ministry, our first area of service is always to the Lord. It's the most powerful ministry that you'll ever have in your life is the ministry of one. Because really all true service, all true love, all true helping of others in the name of Christ really should overflow from our time with the Lord. We minister out of the overflow of our encounter with God. We minister out of the overflow of our relationship with the Lord. We minister out of the overflow of our abiding, daily interacting, of reading God's word, applying it to our life, hiding his word in our heart, right?
Right.
That's the way that we minister, but our first ministry is to the Lord. It's just so important because sometimes people are trying to do things for God and like they don't know God. It's like, dude, do that. Mm-hmm. Like that, do that.
Yeah.
You need to minister to the Lord. That's the first thing. You need to minister to Jesus. And the other thing is that I think about when in terms of being, you know, getting all caught up in what we're doing for God. I think about the disciples when they Jesus sent them back and they came back and they're all hype and excited about, oh, the demons obeyed us and all. Look, all this happened just like you said it was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And Jesus didn't give them a round of applause or he didn't say anything about it. His very next words were, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's like, this, I'm speaking about pride here. Don't get caught up in this other stuff because it's going to happen. Let the main thing always be the main thing, and that is your ministry to the Lord. This is kind of a side thing, but, you know, don't ever aim for titles or position. The greatest, you're already there. The greatest thing you could ever be called is a friend of God. Just be his friend.
Right.
Just be his friend. Trust me, if you're his friend, he'll tell you his secrets. And that's what you want to be. You want to be his friend. We find out in this verse of scripture that Jesus is doing the sending. And if Jesus does the sending, he does the equipping. And so he gives you a job and he gives you the tools to get the job done. It's nothing like being given an assignment. It's like, you want me to build this with what? You know what I'm saying? You want to give me a hammer or some sheetrock? You want to give me some stuff so I can do this? You know? But the Lord doesn't do that. He gives us an assignment, and then he equips us for the assignment. He does the equipping. He doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the call. He says, just come, and I want to give you what you need. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you what you need. So he gives the disciples, and he gives us today, he gives us power and authority, and both of those are so important because authority is the license. It's the right. It's the permission, it's the badge, quote unquote, for us to be there, to do it,
right.
to act on behalf of God. And Lord, we are the salt of the earth. We are God's representation, his ambassadors here on the earth. So God has deputized us, if you will. He's given us authority, right, mm-hmm. on his behalf. And the other thing he gives us is power. right? That might, that strength, that's divine power from God. It's the authority, the right to be there, and the power to execute or to fulfill the authority that was given. You know, in terms of if we use, you know, police officers as an analogy, it's the badge that says I'm the police, right? Mm-hmm. I have authority to be here, right? Mm-hmm. Even because if you're in plain clothes, we don't know. You normally the uniform helps us, right? Okay, that tells us something. But if you're in plain clothes, what do? You pull out your badge that says, hey, I've been authorized, right? This says that I have a license. I'm certified. I am a police officer. I have authority to say, stop that and put that down, right?
Right.
But not only that, if you don't listen to my authority, if you don't listen to this badge, I also have the tools to enforce the authority that I do have. I got a gun, I got a baton, and I do have handcuffs, right? So it's power and authority.
That's right.
And Jesus sends us out. We talked about earlier in the first hour about the seven things to consider about having a fiery, burning heart for souls. I mean, Jesus didn't say, you know, disciples, this is so good and you were so blessed with me and let's just kick back. The expectation is for us to go and to share with others what God has done in our heart, what God's doing in our lives. It's to spread the fire. It's to advance the kingdom. So Jesus sends them out with power and authority, and he's equipped them to get the job done, if you will, and they're able for God's kingdom to invade earth. We've been imparted with power to do what? To drive out demons. To drive out demons. There is an invisible realm that we don't see with our natural eyes, but let me tell you, there are sorts of demonic activity that are flowing all over the place. And the word says that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And so many things happen because they just happen. They just, you know, the believer's not exercising their authority. Mm-hmm. They're not walking into a situation and saying, wait a second, something's not right here, and I'm just going to bind up some demons and that's it. It's done. It could be strife. It could be whatever. Mm-hmm. But there's tons of activity, and we have the authority to deal with second heaven activity, right? But it right. must be what? Exercise. So we drive out demons. We have the power and the authority to cure diseases, to heal the sick, and of course to preach the kingdom of God. Now, many are familiar with preaching the kingdom, but there's something that's powerful and magnificent is when the kingdom of God, God's way of doing things, manifests with a demonstration of power. Like we say, you know, a person with an argument is always at the mercy of someone with an experience. When they've experienced the power of God, the presence of God, the glory of God, it's a wrap. Mm-hmm. It's a wrap. You know, when God's presence invades the room, you know, and you can see that in times of worship. You can see that when you're worshiping and you're glorifying God and maybe with a group of believers that maybe it just started out as just casual conversation and then you're talking and then you just set your heart to worship. All of a sudden, the atmosphere changes. There's a shifting in place, and God's presence, because he inhabits the praises of his people, right? His presence comes, and the whole atmosphere changes, right? And God just fills the room, if you will. Well, it's a demonstration of God's power that we need. And think about it. It's this power in the life and in the ministry of the believers that causes others to marvel and stand in utter amazement of the greatness and the supremacy of God. Mm-hmm. When people see miracles, we've seen miracles. We've seen miracles and have heard of miracles. That's what you call a game changer. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah. That's a game changer. And that's so important that we don't forget that. It's this is the kingdom, but here's the demonstration of the kingdom. We're going to take a break. When we come right back, we're going to talk more about the power and the demonstration of the kingdom of God. We'll be right back.
Have you ever been listening or reading the Word of God, and it just seems like you were just reading a math book? You know, there's a lot of books that I've read in my life, and I've learned that there's a big difference between a textbook, a book, and the Word of God. There's a big difference between the Word of God and the God of the Word. And I want to encourage him that if you want to encounter the God of the Word, Jesus Christ, you can. He's not just a few letters in a pages that you don't understand. He's alive, and he's got a plan for you, and he wants nothing more than to spend time with you on a daily basis. He wants to speak to you. He wants to hear your voice, and he wants you to know his voice. Find out more at iabide.org.
Well, Eddie, talk to us. I finally able to get Eddie on the line for an interview. So, I mean, what do you think about them Saints? What do you got to tell Pat about them Saints?
What I could do is laugh, man. Listen, honestly, Pat, I love you, man, but come on, not make the playoffs, man.
Wow.
The playoffs?
Wow.
That's horrible, man. That is really horrible.
Chris is his partner, too, you know.
You know what? This is for both of y'all, man. Y'all need to take that shirt off or those hats you're wearing, because it's over, man.
Oh, my goodness.
It's over. Get another sport.
Oh, my.
I heard you don't like hockey. You might as well try.
Well, let me ask you this question, because you know what? You're getting on the Saints and you're getting on Pat, but you told Greg, you told me you were doing insanity.
By
the looks of what I'm seeing here.
I was a lot bigger. I've lost 5 pounds. Honestly, I've lost 5 pounds.
Wasn't it 3 months ago?
No, about 2 months ago.
5 pounds and 2 months. Now, what was your goal?
40. For 6 months, though.
Okay.
So... still got a lot of weight to go, you know?
Okay, 2 months, 5 pounds.
And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm at the local gym, and I still haven't even visited it.
Oh.
I'm confessing. I'm being transparent.
Oh, now you're being transparent.
I'm being honest. You know, I've been a little sick, you know. Been a little under the weather. A lot under the weather. And,
goodness.
But, once I hit that gym, it's on.
It's on. Pat, we got to make sure he gets to the gym.
Yeah.
But talk to us, man. I know that you listen to VFN radio.
Every day, like clockwork. If I do miss the morning, guy, I love to hear you guys bright and crisp in the morning. Man, it's a fresh revelation, man, to hear you guys and... to hear what, you know, the news behind the news. I love Brother Greg, man. You know, he's hilarious. You come in right there with him. I feel in my spirit that everybody should have an opportunity to really listen, even if it's just once, man. And
well, that's great. Let me ask you, what would you say? You know, what would you say to other people about VFN Radio? I mean, I know you listen to it all the time, but as far as, I mean, what's kind of the main thing that you get out of it?
Believe it or not, I get more knowledge and wisdom through listening to the VFN Radio. I can't explain it. It's something that I just don't see that anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you get to hear... the stuff that's happening behind all the political hoopla, because to me that's what it is, you know, it starts to wake you up. Your spirit wakens up even more. These prophetic words coming to light, you know.
Exactly. And that's what we're seeing. And that's what I love about what God is doing on the face of the earth and what he's doing through VFN Radio and the opportunities that we get to share. But I'm encouraged that you're listening, that you're getting plugged in, and that you're plugging in others.
Yeah.
You know, because we, you know, who knows how long we have left? I mean, to use this medium for the glory of God and to connect people to the Lord, and get a fresh word. We always say that.
You're right. You know, I just said that today to somebody. I said, you know, we gotta live for God like He's coming tomorrow.
That's right.
Because if we're unprepared, then we're the ones that are going to be left behind. And there's no excuse. If you're serving him, then serve him all the way. Dive in head first. And just continue the journey, because it's an awesome journey. I mean, I look back and reflect on my life and what I've been through and how he saved me from death at 33. And how he's brought me all the way to where I'm at now. I'm like...
That's a beautiful journey,
I could,
huh?
You know, there's just no way that I could have been... I could have done this on my own.
Well, one day we're definitely going to get your testimony for VFM Radio.
Oh, I would love to.
But thanks for coming on in, man. God bless you.
God bless you. Hey, I love you guys over there. And forget the Saints. Oh.
Man, I didn't realize Eddie had so many jokes. Can you believe that? All those jokes. And the boy
he's
sat.
Got jokes.
He's a drip. He's a drip, that's for sure.
Well, you know, so I can't disagree with those same statements.
Hold on now. His team did not make the playoffs either this year, so he's talking smack.
but we have more Super Bowl rings than the Saints.
Yeah, well, you know.
Let me stop on that journey, because you know I don't want to. The same analogy we don't want to use towards baseball and my team. You know we don't want to use a championship. So moving right along.
Moving on.
Well, if you're joining us back at the end of the extra hour here, we want to just continue to encourage you, because we've been talking about the demonstration of the kingdom of God and the power of God, and how Paul said he didn't come with the eloquence of words, his message, but it came with the demonstration of the Spirit's power, and demonstrating the kingdom is just as important as preaching the kingdom. And Jesus did this all the time. In fact, in Luke 9, when he was about to deliver and set free a boy that was being thrown with seizures and being thrown on the ground, verse 42 says that even while the boy was coming to the Lord, he was coming to the Lord, the demon threw him to the ground in a convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the evil spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. Mm. And this is what happens. This is what happens when the kingdom of God is demonstrated. And they were all amazed at the greatness of God. They were marveling at all that Jesus did and everything that he told his disciples. And this is the signs and the wonders are not just for signs and wonders' sake. The whole point of the miracles, signs, and wonders is to point to Jesus Christ. They're to point to the Lord. And so some today feel like the disciples felt in the word when they say, Lord, you know, increase our faith. I want to believe. I want to preach. I want to step out. I want to heal the sick. I want to cast out devils. I want to do the stuff, as John Wimber used to call it, doing the stuff, you know, but increase our faith. And you know, the Lord didn't say, "Oh, okay, you need more faith. Let me give you a couple buckets full of faith." Mm-hmm. His reply to that question, that desire, Lord, increase our faith, was he replied, "Listen, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can tell that mulberry tree to be uprooted and be thrown into the sea." And what Jesus was emphasizing is not the quantity of faith that's going to get things done. It's the fact that you use the faith that you have, that you exercise the faith that you have. And I was sharing this with some leaders over the weekend, and someone said that, listen, our bodies, right? Our bodies all have, we have muscles in our bodies. We have the same body, but it's when we exercise.
Well, some of us do.
Well, yeah. Well, you have all of them, I guess. But, you know, I have one big round one in the center of mine. It's just big, big one. But when you exercise them, they what? They grow. They appear. They grow. And it's the same thing with faith. When we exercise our faith grows. But you have to do it. You have to step on out. You've got to take your hand and lay it on the sick, right? They say, should lay the hands on the sick and they shall recover. And so I just want to encourage you that now is the time more than ever. It's the power, it's the authority, and exercise faith that demonstrates the kingdom. that demonstrates the kingdom. Well, it's time, before we get to the top three, tell us, Pat, about this dream. Tell us about this dream that Jonathan had. We want to shoot a BFN Torch top three, but this is such a powerful dream. Jonathan is your son, right?
Yeah. Jonathan, he's 11 years old. And, you know, every week we get together as a family and we share our bonding times. And yesterday he shared with us this dream he had. Excuse me.
Yes.
Anyway, in this dream, he says he was in his neighborhood, and suddenly this huge, massive tornado just came out of the sky. He says when it touched the ground, it immediately took off rampaging through the houses and yards. It was just tearing everything up. He says he was just in shock. Everything was just tore apart and scattered. He says, but our house stood and was strong, and it didn't break. He said, and then the dream ended. So then, right after that, he said God took him to this scripture, and in Proverbs 25, it says, when the storm has swept by, the wicked are gone, but the righteous stand firm forever.
Wow.
Isn't that powerful?
Very powerful. It's like, very powerful.
What I loved was not only did God give him the dream, but then God showed him the scripture that applied to it.
Wow.
You know, which gave him confidence to know that no matter what we see around us and our surroundings and what's happening in this world right now, you know, we as people, God's going to take care of us. You know, we don't have to be fearful and be worried about, you know, destruction that's coming our way. You know, we were not set apart for wrath. You know, we may get disciplined.
Right.
But not God's wrath.
Wow, you know, that's powerful.
I thought it was really encouraging. And what was interesting about that was earlier in the week, I'd asked him, just, you know, I asked my kids all the time, I said, God been speaking to you? You had any dreams lately? He goes, no. I said, well, have you asked him? He said, well, no. I said, well, why don't you ask? So then yesterday when he told me the dream, I said, did you ask God for a dream? He goes, yeah. See what happens?
Wow. See what happens.
Isn't that something?
That's so powerful. In fact, there was a dream that someone shared with me this week. Hopefully we'll get a chance to share it on the radio as well. But God is speaking, man. God does speak. And an 11-year-old child, right?
Ask,
and you shall receive.
That's right.
And it's so good that even the children are getting an affirmation because they're watching the news. They're listening to stuff. They know what's going on.
They hear me talking about it all the time. That's for sure.
That's true. You know, our kid, my son gives reports to everyone on what's on VFN radio. Did you know? Good job, son. Good job. Yeah. But it's so important that they hear, and now we're all hearing that, you know what? Things are going to come.
Mm-hmm.
Things are going to come. But he who abides, right, in the shelter of the Most High, right?
That's right.
Those who are with God are going to be okay. And so the message here is that, listen, run to God. Get close. Get close, because if you're with God, you're going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be absolutely fine. Wow, powerful. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, as we come to the end of the extra hour, we do want to share the top three on the VFN Torch. Over 1,000 highlights. Mm-hmm. And we have the opportunity just to share some of these just awesome highlights with you so that you can be blessed and go back and listen to them and so that you can share with others. But the first one I want to share is, guard your heart from envy. Guard your heart from envy. And it's a moment of wisdom found in Proverbs 23, 17 through 18. The word says, do not let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. That's so important. It's so important because there isn't a future hope in envying somebody else that's not even living for God,
right?
The future hope is in those that are fearing God and living for the Lord. You know, we have to have a great energy and enthusiasm in keeping a constant awareness and an acknowledgement of God, his presence, his ways, and his feelings towards us and his feeling towards sin. I mean, it's better for us not even to go into that place in envy, but to remain with a healthy fear of the Lord. You know, even the psalmist David said, you know, he's recounting about all the stuff that the sinners are getting away with. He thought, he says, until I found out the end result of what was going to happen. You know, and the Bible speaks clearly that sin is pleasurable for a season, but in the end, it's death.
That's right.
You know, and so the aftertaste of that, it doesn't go well. And so there's no, we need to guard our heart if we're peeking over fences and peeking through windows and peeking through slats, right? And envying the things of this world, because nothing good comes out of that. You have to guard your heart. Proverbs says that your heart is the wellspring, the source of your life, and don't be easily entangled. The second one I want to share with you is that God has a grace for you. That no matter what you have done in your life, Jesus can and is willing to forgive you. He can and he will. He's not going to condemn you, right? Mm-hmm. Jesus condemned the religious persons of the time, the Pharisees, that they were taking pride in their good works. They thought that their good works were going to make them in right standing with God. But we know that we can't earn our way to God through having basically a religious spirit. But the truth is that no matter what you've done in your life, Jesus will forgive you. And there is no shame that the cross can't take away. God's grace is sufficient. His grace is abundance. And he does want to lavish it on you. It's available. It's available. You know, the salvation of God is because of the grace of God. Yeah, it's unmerited. Yes, it's undeserved. But God gives grace to the humble. And if you come to God and you come clean with the Lord, he will give you grace. He will give you grace. Oh, I love the grace of God. Amen. Can't live without it.
Can't do without it.
The last one I want to share with you as we come to the end of the extra hour is rescue those being led to death. Another wonderful wisdom moment in Proverbs, but we share about seeing danger, right? When we see danger as believers, that we should have eyes to see and know people around us, know what's going on in their life, to view what's going on, and to be able to lead them in a direction that is away from death. There's nothing like that. You know, we see people all of the time that we're counseling, maybe that they're in our life, they're our children, they're our friends. Right. And you have eyes to see. You see that the path that they're on, it's not going to go well for them, right? And so we have an obligation out of love. It may not be the popular thing to do, right? Mm-hmm. But is it the right thing to do before God? Is to be able to say, hey, listen, you need to be careful. You need to be cautious. Because that looks like that's going to be a bad situation. I see dead end all over that. And the truth is that slaughter could be the end of that. Mm-hmm. You know, a devastation if they don't stop going in that direction. That's what we're warning. A storm is coming. Mm-hmm. You can take the attitude as a believer, well, they just deserve it. They're not going to listen to me. Mm-hmm. Or that they should have known better. We have been sharing with it or telling them, right? Mm-hmm. But that's not right. We can continue about our business, but what we should do is be able to, with compassion, right? Because God's made it known to us, we should be able to tell them, listen, a storm is coming. Death awaits if you're still on this path. A storm is brewing, and not remain silent. And this is one of the reasons that we have VFN radio, to warn others, to say, listen, a storm is coming. The Lord has spoken.
Right.
We're seeing the sign of the times right before us. We're seeing events that are literally transforming everything. We're seeing, wow, the economies of the world are just about to just fall like dominoes. It's time to get our spiritual house in order, and it's time to be in the right place with God today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.